The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing asunder the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's take a couple of seconds like we always do to make sure we get right with the Lord. Father, thank you for another day of your grace and for bringing us here to Country Bible Church again on this Tuesday night. We pray that you'll just help us to stay focused over the subject of priesthood, and that you help us to apply it in our lives out here and in this crazy cosmos system, and help others to understand the truth so that they can live forever with you, just like we get that awesome opportunity to. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Royal priesthood, fallen from Sunday of ambassadorship, so they go right hand in hand. Mary informed me before we start, no movies on Friday because power outage. So no movies on Friday. So don't plan on being here. Unless you want to watch it outside in your car or something. Most cars have DVD players now. Yeah, nothing here. The door's going to be locked. I know some of you know where the key's at, but don't get in. So no movies. I haven't talked to Mike yet. I don't know if anybody else has, but he's enjoying his vacation. You talk to him?
Yeah, he's
having a good time?
Around the word and relaxation both.
Okay, good. Yeah, he told me, he sent me an email and he said, "Hey there, Mr. Ty. How's everything going? How's the church and how's everything?" So, he's having fun. I don't know if he's going to be here Thursday, but I sent him an email saying that I would teach if he's not here. So, Thursday we'll have class. I think he's getting here tomorrow, though.
No, he's planning on not coming in.
Is he?
He's
going to
come in Saturday.
He's having a good time.
You get your
okay, I don't know what I'm teaching Thursday, so we'll see. We'll figure something out. I'll send him an email tonight.
You verify.
That's good. No, that's good practice. I need it. Okay, current events. I love current events, so we'll current event before we get into priesthood. Over in Israel, a Jewish rabbi recently took a group up to the Temple Mount. And when they were up there on the Temple Mount, they actually got a couple of seconds where they knelt down and prayed on the Temple Mount. Now, this is forbidden by the Islamic Muslims. Nobody's allowed to get down and pray on the Mount, but they managed to do it. And so that's good for them. Now, I'm glad they got down and actually prayed, because that's not the Islamic site. That's for the Jews. It's the month of Ramadan for the Islamic faith, which celebrates the Quran being given to Muhammad. And so it was more of a spit in the face to the Islamic faith that they did that. I know we don't care and we're happy for it. I just thought y'all should know that happened. Okay? Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, went over to Europe, the EU, recently and met with some of the leaders over there. And he let them know, along with the current administration of the United States of America, that Israel is not going to compromise with building in their own land. Because I'm not sure if everybody's aware, but our administration and the European Union is hell-bent on making sure that they do not build in Judea and Samaria. And that's not okay. That would be equivalent to Benjamin Netanyahu coming to Barack Obama and telling him that Americans are not allowed to live in certain parts of New York City. Would that be all right? No, not acceptable. So Benjamin Netanyahu went over there to the European Union and let them know that Israel has their own sovereignty and they don't have to answer to anybody. So good. That just happened. Okay, one more. Current events. Palestinian leaders say that there will be a Palestinian de facto state within 2 years. This is dated today. The Prime Minister of the Palestinian Authority, Salam Fayyad, has put in place a plan to have a de facto Palestinian state by 2011. And he believes this move will help the whole world to know that the Palestinian people are not prepared to continue living under a brutal occupation. Fayyad said a de facto state would force Israel to prove they are serious about ending the occupation of the West Bank and at the same time building facts on the ground so that the Palestinian state can emerge as a fact that cannot be ignored. Jimmy's perspective on the news. This is off of prophecytoday.com. I'll tell y'all about. Go there. Every day you put something good on there. So Jimmy always writes a little clip on it. With the announcement of the Palestinian Authority Prime Minister that there will be a de facto Palestinian state in place within 2 years, the stage is being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. The Palestinian Prime Minister, Salam Fayyad, says a de facto Palestinian state in place will help a real Palestinian state to emerge as a fact on the ground in the present-day state of Israel. This scenario is what many ancient Jewish prophets wrote about over 2,500 years ago that dealt with the Jews and the Palestinians. Genesis 25-37 lays out the history of two brothers, Esau and Jacob, who God said would become two nations. Genesis 25:23 is where it says that. Jacob did become the Jewish nation of today, and Esau, the Palestinian people of today. The ancient prophet Obadiah reveals how the Edomites, the Palestinians, will run out of Jordan 500 years before the birth of Christ and moved into southern Israel. That's Obadiah's chapter 1-14. Malachi says that in the end times, these people will build a nation in Israel, and God would call their borders the borders of wickedness. That's Malachi 1. Ezekiel wrote that the Palestinians would kill the Jews and take their land. Ezekiel 35. The last portion of Obadiah says that the God of heaven would give the final victory to the Jewish people. De facto Palestinian state or real Palestinian state, in the end, Bible prophecy will be fulfilled. It's a good website, isn't it? They got good stuff there. Go check it out. Prophecytoday.com. Turn your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 12, please. Zechariah 12. We're going to see what the Bible says about this subject that we just went over in current events. Zechariah 12. Starting with verse 1. I still hear some pages, so I'll give you a couple more seconds. Zechariah 12, verse 1. I don't have them all memorized in order. I'd help you out to how to get there.
Way in the back.
Okay. Here it is, verse 1. This is in reference to what we just read with the current events. The burden of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that causes reeling to all peoples around. And when the siege is against Jerusalem, it will also be against Judah. It will come about in that day that I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. All who lift it will be severely injured, and all the nations of the earth will be gathered against it. Skip down to verse 6. In that day I will make the clans of Judah like a fire pot among the pieces of wood and a flaming torch among sheaves. So they will consume on the right hand and on the left all the surrounding peoples, while the inhabitants of Jerusalem again dwell on their own sites in Jerusalem. Skip down to 9. And in that day I will set about to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Is that pretty clear? Yeah. Go ahead and try to set up a Palestinian state. 12:9, you'll be destroyed. So we'll see what happens. Any student of Bible prophecy can see that things are lining up right now for war. Okay, the Middle East is a boiling pot. Totally. And it's getting ready to just burst. We know that Ahmadinejad wants to destroy Israel, and everything's lining up for the end. So we'll get into royal priesthood and go towards that function right now and try to prepare ourselves for the war. We'll go through four key points if you're taking notes. Point number one, what is a priest? A priest is a member of the human race who represents some portion of the human race before God. A priest is a member of the human race who represents some portion of the human race before God. priest here? Yes. Royal priest, right? Did we appoint ourselves? Nope. He appointed us. Remember the ambassadorship on Sunday? He appointed the ambassadorship that happens at the same time, baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he appoints our priesthood. Okay? A priest must be human. That may sound easy for us, but you need to know it. Can't be angelic, can't be an angel, can't be a priest. We know now in this age what females can be priests. Okay, no other dispensation could a female be a priest, right? That's pretty awesome for you females living in this age. You know, it's pretty good. I was telling my coworker at work today this. It's interesting, she'll talk to me about doctrine and the Bible and stuff from an interesting mindset. But I was telling her, I get to teach tonight at Country Bible, I'm excited. Teaching over priesthood. I said, it's so interesting because you're a royal priest if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And women didn't get that opportunity in other dispensations. And I didn't know it would strike a chord with her. But I realized that, and so I get to use it tonight. And she said, what? Of course, what kind of a God would do that to where some other time frame, it makes sense though if you think about it. What kind of a God would do that to where some other time frame a woman couldn't be a priest? I didn't even know this was going to strike a chord with her, so I was like, oh no, think quick. I said, the nation of Israel was still propitiated for their sins by the Levitical priests, right? Going in and doing those sin offerings. And women could still pray. And I said, it was fine. And so that calmed her down. She said, oh, okay, I see. I said, it had to do with the sin offering and different things of that nature. And I didn't go too in depth because I don't think there's much meat yet in her soul, so. But it was interesting. So you must be a human. Can't be an angel. And male and female can be a priest. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. You hear the word priest, and I know automatically people automatically think Hebrews. Man, that book is saturated. And we're going to be in there a lot tonight. I can't wait to find out who wrote that book. When we get there, you know, you've got questions you want to ask Jesus when you get there? That's one of them. Who wrote it? Hebrews 5, starting with verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself also is beset with weakness. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins. As for the people, so also for himself. So we see you have to be a man. Human. Flip back to chapter 4. Look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. The one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without sin. So he was, there's people who will say there's no way Jesus could have sinned. I don't know if I agree with that. They say there's no way he could have even sinned at all while he was on earth. And would that have been a true test? If he was not able to sin? Some people that are very doctrinal guys say, no, he wasn't even able to sin. I don't agree with that. I think in his humanity he could have. Of course, indeed he can't, right? But in humanity, I think that's the whole reason he came here, so he could be tested and have be beset with weakness like we are. And he passed, even when they spit in his face. So I would lean to think, yeah, he could have sinned in his humanity. If anybody finds anything on that interesting, bring it to me. Because that's a study ongoing. We'll try to figure that one out. Okay, never angel or female until this dispensation. Now, man, I don't want you to get on your high horse either. Unless you were from the tribe of Levi, you weren't either. In the Old Testament. Okay, so unless you're one of those 12 part of that Levitical priesthood, neither were you. So don't be like, the women weren't able to. I doubt, you know, I don't know if we have Jews in here anyways. You know what I mean? So, and keeping that in mind, our war is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians chapter 6. Alright? So we get real irritated with people real easy. Whether it's somebody in our own country or somebody from another country, those guys are being used by invisible forces. Right? Ephesians 6 says our war is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the ones in the wicked, you know, the heavenly places. Okay? Okay, point number two on the priesthood. We'll go to the Old Testament. So you can just put point two, OT, Old Testament. We're going to look at the priesthood in the Old Testament. Try to see how it was. There's four types of priesthood that are mentioned in the Bible. Okay, four types that are mentioned. All of them are in the book of Hebrews. So if you want to go study priesthood, go to the book of Hebrews. In the Old Testament, we find three of them. Okay, so in the Old Testament, three forms of priesthood. Number one, patriarchal priesthood. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Patriarchs. Okay? In charge of their own household. Right? That went from Adam until Moses. So you can write that down. So the patriarchal priesthood was from Adam until Moses. Now these gentlemen, they built altars, offered sacrifices, purified and consecrated themselves in their household. This is before we get to the Levitical priesthood. We're building up to where we're at, just so you know. We're going to get to the good stuff and what really matters for right now in this war. But we've got to kind of do some Old Testament stuff first. Those are just old stories. That's what that guy told me on my front porch. We don't get into those old stories. So the first part is the first kind in the Old Testament, patriarchal. The second kind of priesthood is the king priest. Got to be a king and a priest. And I know some of you know what I'm saying. It's a funny name. Melchizedek. Right? Melchizedek, however you say it. By the way, I always say words wrong, so when I'm up here, don't expect me to say them right, because I'm not going to. Melchizedek. He's the king priest. Very interesting. This guy's only mentioned twice in the entire Old Testament. And then Hebrews has this extensive discussion about him. I mean, Hebrews is a difficult book anyways, but this guy's mentioned in two places in the Old Testament, and then all of a sudden this humongous discussion in the book of Hebrews. So we need to look at this guy real quick. Turn to Genesis 14. Anybody ever listen to David Hocking while you're turning there? Genesis 14. David Hocking, the theologian. He's got a big, deep voice. Okay, no. He came out with a CD that's awesome. It was called Who is Melchizedek? And that was the title of it. And you can get them for free off of firefightersforchrist.com. Go order the CDs. firefightersforchrist.com. It's a grace ministry. But he had this CD that was called, and he started off that way when you put it in the CD player, Who is Melchizedek? And he said it like three times. I didn't know who he was before I listened to it. Genesis 14, verse 18, follow along. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. He blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. He gave him a tenth of all. That's the first time we hear about Melchizedek. Okay? Now he was a king, and he was a priest, living in the time of Abraham. We know that. We know he gave bread and wine to Abraham. Typology. Okay, something in the Old Testament shows you something in the New. This represented the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Melchizedek giving that wine and that bread to Abraham. Okay, so you can write down typology. Now, he was allowed to do that. The reason Melchizedek was allowed to do it was because his priesthood was higher. Because he was a king priest. We're going to see that that matters as the kind of priest that we are in the universal priesthood. Our priesthood is higher than the Levitical priesthood. Okay, because we've got the high priest. I'm getting ahead. This is a type of Jesus Christ to come, this Melchizedek. But it was not Jesus Christ. I want to be clear on that. Because there's gentlemen that are very respected that will tell you that that was Jesus Christ, Melchizedek. It's not. At least I don't think so. I don't think the Bible shows that. good guys that think that too. They're really good at their theology. His name means King of Righteousness. Melchizedek. That's what the name means. It's typology for Jesus Christ to come in the future. Because Jesus Christ is going to be the King Priest. The King and the Priest. That's the second time, the King Priest priesthood. Number three, you know where I'm going. None of us in here are from the tribe of what? Levi, Levitical priesthood. This is based on natural generation. If you were born a Levite, as a son, a father who was a Levite, you're a priest. God, I don't want to be a priest, I want to be a firefighter. Too bad, you're a priest. You were born a priest, you're going to be a priest. They didn't have any option, they had to be a priest. I don't remember the amount of time they had to serve. I think it was 40 or 50 years. But when they were done with that serving, then they were done. Doesn't matter if they were at the top of their A game as a priest. They're out. And they're done. Okay, I can't remember right now. Does anybody remember exactly the years? 40 or 50? Anyways, they serve for a specific amount of time, and then you're done. So, you got to do it. The priesthood in the Old Testament for the Levites was determined by physical birth. You're born a Levite. You're a priest. Whereas in the New Testament, it's off of not natural generation, but regeneration. So we're regeneration. Nicodemus, the conversation in John 3, got to be born again. That's how we get our priesthood. 1 Corinthians 12:13, baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament priest offered animals. The blood of bulls and goats, we'll see in Hebrews, right? Only the Levitical priests could do that. Once a year, Yom Kippur, they would go into where? The Holy of Holies, right? And they would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. And that word, what's the word? For propitiation? Propitiation? You know the Greek word? Can't think of it right now. That is the same word for the seat on the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, so that propitiation in the New Testament is the exact same word for that seat. And I know all of us know that, but it's on that ark. So, they used it with animal typology. The blood. Okay? We're going forward to Jesus Christ. So those are the three in the Old Testament. You had number one, patriarchal. Number two, king priest. Melchizedek. I love saying that name. Number three, Levitical priest. Point number three, we're going to the New Testament. New Testament priesthood. This is where we're gonna look at. Okay, this is where we're at. So number four, the fourth, under point three, this is the number four kind of priest, is the universal priest. Based on regeneration, John chapter 3. What's the qualification to be a priest now? Gotta be a believer. Gotta be born a Levite. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be a priest. That's awesome. To really just think that you're a priest? That's cool. Male and female, it's universal. Catholic Church? No. Catholic means universal. Okay, so they think they're the universal church. And they try to specialize the priesthood to where only the Pope can tell you what's going to happen. Right? Ex cathedra, whatever the Pope says is divine. Okay, they're trying to go back towards things that were specialized in the Old Testament. That's not true. Everybody's a priest now, so those Catholics are flat out wrong. Okay, they're not in charge. The Pope isn't somebody who can tell everybody what to do as much as they think he can. Okay, so just want to make that point here. That's not a part of the universal, the true universal us, the priests. So what is your major priest function? Rebound? And learn doctrine. Operation Z. Remember I mentioned that Sunday? Okay? You got rebound and Operation Z. By the way, you can get the Colonel's memorial service on DVD. I was looking on the website today, and you can order it and get it on DVD to watch it. I heard it was really good. Michelle's mom and dad went, and they said there was tons of people there. Anybody else go from here? Yeah? You all went? I thought it was pretty special, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, I know Joe Griffin, and I know Bobby, and I didn't know the other gentleman's name, but there was... Huh? Rick Hughes. Yeah, I never heard of him. I'm going to have to go look at. He's pretty awesome. But anyways, you can order that. I would suggest doing it. Got him in lots of the whole entire world and this church. Okay, we must follow Christ's prototype example of his priesthood while he was here. Hypostatic union, the theanthropic person. Thus, we have a better spiritual life now available to us than any other dispensation period. Hands down, not even close. Or future. Millennium, tribulation, nothing. There's nothing that compares to what we have right now. People aren't latching onto it and really take advantage of it. That's sad. Jesus Christ also grew in grace and knowledge while he was a human on earth. It wasn't like he just came out and just knew everything. Although evidently he did speak as an infant in Hebrews. Go look at it. I can tell you about it. Go look at it. It's interesting. I know the colonel taught that. I first heard that. I was like, what? He was in his deity. Okay, it wasn't his humanity. And I'll read this. You don't have to turn there. And to show you that Jesus Christ did have to grow just like we do. The prototype plan that we have to follow like him. Luke 2:40. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He had increased in wisdom too. Just like us. Okay? This is major review for some of you, and I know that. But I do know at least one person here has never seen this. So we'll go over real quick, Operation Z. Because there's nothing wrong with going over things over and over. Operation Z, and I'll make it quick. We've got the Logos, the Word. Okay? And that is taught by the pastor teacher. This is overall the grace system of perception. It's all grace. Just like that bread being given that we talked about on Sunday. Grace system of perception. Okay. This, once the pastor teacher teaches this, it goes to the human spirit. These illustrations that the colonel came up with are flat out awesome, aren't they? Pneuma, your spirit. I'm working on my Greek, so bear with me. Pneuma. Okay, so it's taught by the pastor teacher. Where are you at? Where's Amanda? Okay. Good. Man has never gone through this, so this is really awesome. So it's taught by the pastor teacher. That transfers to your human spirit via the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's our master teacher. Remember on Sunday we read, I must go away and I'm going to send a helper to teach you? Thank God, because we're stupid. Okay? Yes, we are. We're human. We have an old sin nature. And he's the master teacher and extremely intelligent. So teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit goes to our human spirit and then transfers down to what? Your soul. Two parts of your soul. What are they? Nous and your cardia. Your mind and your heart. So it goes to your mind first. Okay, your nous. Mind. It's so cool the Bible teaches you about the soul and the mind and the heart and how it all works. Because there's all these psychologists out there in this world that are real educated at Harvard and other places like that. And they're trying to come up with all these things to help people. And the Bible clearly tells us about the soul and how your mentality works and your heart and everything of the nature. And they just flat out don't want to look at it. And a lot of people really could be helped that are having problems. You know, that are struggling in their mind. If they would just read the Bible, right? Amanda, this transfer from the human spirit to your soul, the mind, the Holy Spirit also does that. So the Holy Spirit transfers this to the soul. This is knowledge understood. So it's knowledge understood. But you got to get it into where? Cardia. Okay? Cardia. We don't know how long we're going to be able to read our Bibles. I know we're comfortable with it now, but what if it came a time where we couldn't? I'm telling y'all, the Middle East is a melting pot right now. And we are supporting a lot of things that are not good. So, well, no. Get it in your cardia. And the way it's transferred to your cardia is by faith. It's transferred to your heart by faith. Once you have faith, and everything's by faith, transferred by faith. Do what? Holy Spirit helping you. He helps the whole entire time. That's why Christ sent him to us. This goes to your heart. Then you can really have some love for people, not just fake it. A lot of people are doing that. This becomes knowledge believed. Dang it, I didn't bring it. The last part of that, at the Cardinals thing, I was reading the thing that they read. I can't remember, I don't know who read it, I wasn't there. But the last paragraph, I'll let you keep copying that if you haven't got it, and leave it up there for you, Amanda. You already got it? Okay, does everybody got this? So it's transferred, goes to your whole, to your human spirit, and God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Okay, so if you don't have a spirit, none of this is going to matter. So if you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ and you just have a soul, it's never going to get to there because it can't go through your human spirit. Okay? That last paragraph that they read was new, I saw, and it was talking about the legacy that the pastor teacher leaves behind. And that the, you know, what the colonel did for that church and the amount of doctrine he got into their souls so they could go out and war. Well, the colonel's up there, 2 Corinthians 5:8b, put it in your memory on that verse. He's up there, but he left all that doctrine in his congregation's soul so that they're not alone in the devil's cosmos system. And that's a true legacy. And when I read that, I was like, wow. Because there's so many churches that are occurring right now, and y'all all know it, that they go there and it's rah, 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 feel good, pom-poms. And none of those people have doctrine in their cardia. And so then they get out in this world and they're toast. So, good job, Colonel. Okay, that was Operation Z. Pretty awesome chart. Okay, so there's three phases of sanctification for the universal priest. Three phases of sanctification for the universal priest in the church age. Number one is positional. We know that. Placed in Jesus Christ in the moment of faith. That confirms your priesthood. Number two, experiential. We know that. Following the protocol plan of God. He grew in wisdom, we got to grow in wisdom. So we're not casualties of war. What's number three? Ultimate sanctification. Whereby you get your resurrection body and go to heaven forever. Well, not yet, but eventually, for eternity. And the way the Cardinal teaches it is that we're the only dispensation that is going to have our priesthood for eternity. I haven't followed that study completely yet, but it's interesting. If y'all want something to go study, it said that we get to keep our priesthood forever, and that that wasn't given to other dispensations. Okay, so the Levitical priests and patriarchal and whatnot, they don't stay priests forever. He told Melchizedek, thou art a priest forever. It said about Melchizedek. Okay? That was prototype or a type of what was going to come, where we're living right now. So, thou art a priest forever, because we're after the high priest, Jesus Christ. So, we'll follow that line of thinking, and I'm leaning towards we get to be a priest forever, which is an interesting thought. Okay? Number two is experiential. Okay? Of the three phases of sanctification. There's a three-step process to do that experiential sanctification. Number one is what? We do it when we start. 1 John 1:9. You get right with the Lord. Number two, we just went through Operation Z and you got to store stuff in your heart. Okay, that's metabolized doctrine. Doctrine believed through faith. So you store it in your soul. So one was 1 John 1:9. Two is metabolized doctrine in your soul. You got to get it so you can be a good warrior in battle. Don't be unprepared. Number three, your problem-solving devices. Okay? When you get your problem-solving devices figured out, I know the colonel labeled them down as 10 problem-solving devices. That's on your front line of the soul, like you would say. You've got your soul, and you've got your front line of the troops. FLOT, flotline, that protection in the cosmos system. So if you can really understand those 10 aspects of the flotline of the soul, then you're not going to get disturbed as much by all this craziness out there. Because it happens all the time. People try to get you off kilter and get your mental attitude out of whack, or something happens in your life. Satan's trying. But if you've got your problem-solving devices, then you're going to be a lot better. Freedom Through Military Victory. If you haven't read it, get it. It's free. Okay, the Colonel's website, rvtheme.org. Freedom Through Military Victory. Turn to page 69. Goes through the 10 problem-solving devices. I'm not going to go through a study on those tonight, but just mention them for you. Okay, number one, rebound. Right, we know that one. Number two, filling of the Holy Spirit. Three, the faith rest drill. Four, grace orientation. That's a big one. A lot of people don't have grace orientation. They think they're involved with it. I gave the bread. You know what I mean? Number five, doctrinal orientation. Melchizedek was not Jesus Christ. That could trip somebody up. Okay, doctrinal orientation. Six, a personal sense of destiny. You're out there wandering around as a non-believer. You don't know where you're going. And it's, oh man, I see it all the time in some of my friends and people, and they're so upset. And the littlest things upset them, because there's no personal sense of destiny. You know, and we get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ and reign with Him. That's personal sense of destiny, if anything is. I can't wait. So I go over there and take care of this. I'm there. I think I get to be transported real quick too. That's a good thought. Seven. Personal love for God the Father. Right? Personal love for God the Father and what He did for us by sending His Son Jesus Christ. Eight. If you have personal love for God the Father, I mentioned it on Sunday, then you'll have impersonal love for mankind. But you've got to develop that other one first. And the impersonal love for all mankind is not easy. I know humans really irritate us very easily. They do me. Nine. Sharing the happiness of God and the truth. These are the 10. Sharing the happiness of God. That was 9. Sharing the happiness of God. 10. Occupation with the person of Jesus Christ. Everything that flows through your mind, you're thinking about Jesus Christ and WWJD. That faded, didn't it? That was real big in the 90s. But it went away. It shouldn't have. That was awesome. What would Jesus do? That's a great thing. If you sit there and think, what would the Lord Jesus Christ do right here? It doesn't mean He's just a wuss. I mean, He took care of business when it needed to be taken care of. So occupation with the Lord Jesus Christ always in your mindset. Freedom through military victory. Go get it. Three. Okay. When you put all of this into operation that we talked about, as far as that experiential phase goes, then you're exercising in the divine dynasphere, and this is through your ambassadorship. Remember on Sunday we mentioned ambassadorship and went through that? How far would you go for Jesus Christ? Remember what Paul went through in 2 Corinthians 11? And we think that we got it bad? Not at all. He was beaten without numberable times. Okay? Once you get all this stuff through your priesthood down, and you really start growing in grace and knowledge, then you can put that into your ambassadorship. You can go out there and not be scared. That's where the confidence comes in. What can man do to me? He can't destroy your soul, your cardia, or your noose. But fear the Lord. Okay. We've looked at the Old Testament and the New Testament priesthood, right? Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews is good. But tough. It's good. Hebrews 10. Okay, start with verse 1. Now, we look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, and now we're going to understand how these two kind of work together. Hebrews 10 gives us a lot of information. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make perfect those who draw near. Otherwise, would they not have ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have had consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins year by year. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Okay, this is talking all about New Testament priesthood and the Old Testament to New Testament. And we're going to try to understand exactly how this works. Okay. Charlie, I'm going to try not to get everything too wet. We're trying to understand this Old Testament to New Testament typology and the shadow Christology of the shadow of the future Jesus Christ to come. It's fascinating. I definitely like mark this chart down because it's interesting. Okay, we'll go ritual versus reality. Okay, we'll go Old Testament. I'm being a little generic on this because I just came up with it today, so I mean, just kind of put it into a chart format of what I read. Okay. Burnt offerings. Right? We said in the Old Testament they did burnt offerings. What does this represent in the shadow Christology for the New Testament? Propitiation. Is that how you say it? Propitiation? I'm going to say that one wrong forever. Specifically in reference to salvation. Okay, so burnt offerings specifically was shadow Christology for propitiation, salvation of Jesus Christ. Food offering. They did food offering. This is also... What is it? I know Mike's got this ingrained in your brain. What does propitiation mean? Satisfaction. This one, in reference to the perfect humanity in hypostatic union. The Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, where can you go in Scripture to find that hypostatic union? In the, it's not just a made-up word, it sounds good, but hypostasis, Hebrews 1, verse 3. Okay, you can write that down, Hebrews 1, 3. That's where that hypostatic word came from, hypostasis. Okay, so these relate? These relate. We're looking at the shadow Christology. If you want to write that up here, you can. Okay, they also have peace offerings. As ambassadors, right there after 2 Corinthians 5:8b, where it mentioned how the colonel and other guys are up there in heaven, it mentioned the reconciliation in the 19th verse, right? Reconciliation. Peace. We have peace now. God the Father. Through Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Go out and tell people about it. They need to know it, or they're going to hell forever. Okay? Burning lake. They also had to do a sin offering in the Old Testament. This one relates to New Testament rebound. What we get to do is rebound. Specifically, your unknown sins. Okay? I can't remember all my sins. No way, Jose. They did trespass offering. Now you know where I'm going. What's this one refer to? No? to trespass, just like we trespass, and you can remember the ones you need to, name them. Don't be afraid to, because He knows before you even do it that you're going to, or not. Known sins. Ritual versus reality. They all did ritual, and that couldn't bring them to eternal salvation, could it? No. But Jesus Christ and our priesthood now, all we got to do is have faith. And so what the amazing thing is that all of this over here, all we got to do is place our faith in Jesus Christ. Let's talk about living in an amazing dispensation. Man, they added all this stuff they had to accomplish through those Levitical priesthood. Now, all we got to do is place our faith in Jesus Christ, rebound, name our sins, and stop being so into ourselves and realize that we just need to let go and let the Holy Spirit do it. Isn't that awesome? Man. Hebrews 10:10. By this we have all been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He accomplished that. Okay? Everybody got that down? Isn't that cool how the Old Testament shows shadow Christology of the New Testament? It's all over the place. That's awesome. Progressive revelation. He just keeps teaching us. Okay, we'll move into point number four. Point number four, Christ is our high priest. Christ is our high priest. Jesus was the first high priest ever filled with the Holy Spirit. No other high priest was ever filled with the Holy Spirit before. He was the first. Because of the protocol plan. He showed us how to do it. Grow in wisdom. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. He was the first one to ever do that. That's significant. All previous priests offered animals. Jesus Christ offered what? Himself. Okay, they couldn't do that. He did it. Look at Hebrews. I know you're still probably there. Hebrews 9, verse 11. It says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, He entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through His own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Our high priest. We get to join in that. In Christ, Romans 8:1. Look down at 24. Kind of going down that same line of thought. Verse 24, for Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that He would offer Himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, He would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the consummation of the ages, He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Once and for all. And we get to live in this time frame. You know? Grace. Because the Jesus Christ accomplished this, and He's up there now at the right hand of the Father, He's our mediator of a new covenant. Okay? Stay in Hebrews 9 and look at verse 15. Okay? Mediator of a new covenant. For this reason, He is the mediator of a new covenant. So that, since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So He's a mediator now to the new covenant, the covenant that we're underneath. It's different, right? Now that mediator is between God and man, reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:19, right? He's God and man, so He can be a mediator of both. If you think about that. The new covenant is only to the church. Nobody else gets the new covenant. Okay? And that's not going to continue on. Israel has their own new covenant, but that's not going to continue until the start of the millennium. Okay? And that's going to be interesting because it's not going to be the same as their old, but it's a new covenant to Israel in the future. Okay? What does it mean when it says that we may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance? It's an eternal inheritance. What does it mean? Chewing on this one, the colonel says, that's our priesthood for eternity in a resurrection body. Okay, I'll repeat it. That's our priesthood we have now for eternity in a resurrection body. Okay? That sounds good to me. I wouldn't mind that inheritance at all. Okay, not only is he our mediator, he makes intercession for us up there. As our high priest. Flip back to 7. Chapter 7. Verse 25. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Does Hebrews seem a little repetitive? Good. Because the Catholics every single day on Sunday are doing what? Re-sacrificing Jesus Christ? I saw it. It was disgusting. I was disgusted. I know Michelle was. It was horrible. It says it clearly, once for all. And they're sitting there re-sacrificing him. No, I mean, they're not. But they think they are. That's even worse. So, to us this may sound plain and clear, but we can look at these verses and take them there. And I know I've got some Catholic friends I'm working on. I'm sure y'all do. They're everywhere. Okay? One out of six people is a Catholic on this earth. Right? So we got some witnessing to do as an ambassador. Taking this Hebrews book. Okay. We get to enter the Holy of Holies as a part of our priesthood through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 19. We get to enter the Holy of Holies, which we know only the priest, Levitical priest, got to do in the Old Testament. Chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Back there in verse 19 where it says, by a new and living way, that's the new covenant. That's what that means. You can put new covenant. That's what we're in. It's a new and living way that wasn't before. Now this where it said, he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is huge. And we can't just pass over that like, oh, through the veil, that's pretty language. No, that's big time. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. And we'll categorize. Matthew 27. Verse 50. I wanted to scream out loud when I read this verse over and over. So bear with me here. Verse 50 of Matthew 27. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. So is this some small thing we need to glance over? In that Hebrews chapter, let's read it again. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. That wasn't some little event in human history. The earth literally shook and the rocks split. The veil was ripped from top to bottom, from God to man. Reconciliation. From God to us. Now we have pathway. That's an awesome verse. That's powerful. To think that we can go through the veil into the Holy of Holies. If that doesn't touch somebody's spirit and heart, I don't know what does. Since we know that we can go through the veil, into the Holy of Holies anytime we want and talk to God the Father and just sit there and Jesus is making intercession for us, let's have confidence in this and not back down in this warfare out here in this cosmos system and know that we've got that because He is faithful, it said. Turn back to Hebrews again. Last time. I know a lot of Bible flipping, but it's good. Hebrews chapter 6. And the earth shook. Can you imagine that? All those people that were sitting there in front of Him, that were mocking Him, making fun of Him. Chapter 6, we'll start with verse 9. Verse 9, and really focus, don't lose focus, I know we're at the end, but try to focus on this, okay? Verse 9. But, beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you, and things that accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust, so as to forget your work, and the love which you have shown toward His name, in having ministered, and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Good, right? Is that hope anchored in your soul? Yep. Guess what that anchor is? Jesus Christ. That's the anchor in your soul. Christ in you. And it's an anchor that ain't going nowhere. No one can snatch them out of my hand. And He's in heaven waiting for us to join Him there. But for now, we're here. Right? So, I've heard this before and I like it. Either you can get busy living, or you can get busy dying. Okay? It's your decision. I know what Jesus Christ wants us to do, because we can go into the veil in this spiritual, dynamic dispensation that we live in. Take advantage of it. Okay? Let's close. Thank you, Father, so much for taking care of that veil so we could enter into the Holy of Holies and just conversate with You and fall more in love with You and Your magnificence and what You do for us on a daily basis and the logistical grace that You provide us, and even when we don't deserve it. We just pray that You'll continue to open up our minds and our souls and our cardias to have faith in what You're teaching us. We thank You for You sending us Your Holy Spirit so that we can understand these things that sometimes can be a little difficult and can strain our minds. But we know that no matter what level, from a little child up to a genius, Your Holy Spirit is able to teach us these magnificent wonders. We pray that You'll help us to hold on to Him and have faith in Him in our souls so that we can tell other people about all of these wonderful things we get to discuss tonight. Thank You for protecting us here at Country Bible Church. We pray You'll continue to keep this solid lampstand here protected from the enemy, because we know that he's going to try to attack, and just please protect us, Father. And we ask that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.